Log Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL, getting started properly this time, as I forgot to do our intro earlier today. 646-652-4479. First time we've ever done two shows in the same day, so we were a little bit off earlier, but we're catching up now. So excited to be doing this show this evening. I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but first and foremost, we want to make sure we give our shout-outs to our proverbial fans out there in social media land. So let's say hello to Falcons Nation folks, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, We Are the G, the Savage Dogs of UGA, New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, Hawks Nation, Atlanta Braves Fan Group, Tomahawk Talk, and the Atlanta FC fans, as well as the Atlanta Dream page. Don't want to forget them all on Facebook, and we all follow them, and they follow us. They've been doing that for a long time. Thanks for y'all's support. Of course, make sure you listen to IMTN Worldwide Radio. You can listen and watch on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio, Twitter, IMTN Radio, and, of course, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and Spotify to listen to past episodes. I want to give a shout-out again to Mr. Jamal Price of the Originative brand. He was actually on the show a little earlier. If you want to get your Hawks gear for the playoffs, he has some great shirts right now. You need to make sure you pick them up. So tonight, what are we doing tonight? So earlier today, we were privileged to have Mr. Steve Holman, the voice of the Hawks, over 30 years broadcasting, and he gave a lot of thoughts and insight in regards to the regular season of 2020 and what's to come. Tonight, we're going to have the equal privilege of talking to someone else who has almost an equal length of time showing us what it is to really kind of be a Hawks fan at the end of the day and being able to tell a story, paint a picture. That is, of course, Bob Raspin. We're going to give him an intro in a second. But let's bring in our co-host for tonight, Mr. Jordan Jackson. Of course, Jordan is somebody that, you know, over these last few years. Remember, this is episode 101, by the way. He's been someone definitely I've relied on to keep things going as we've been, you know, doing this journey of radio for Atlanta sports. He's a writer for Dogcast.com, also a former writer for Sports Illustrated Bulldog Maven, and is still a contributor for ATL All Day via FanSided. Jordan, sir, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, sir. We're back again. Certainly excited to get a chance to talk some more Atlanta Hawks in a very exciting time. And one of my absolute favorite Hawks teams. Want to give a shout-out to all of our people out there on Hawks Twitter who listen to us, all the Atlanta sports fans who are so passionate, taking up for our guys, defending our team on Twitter. Shout-out to you guys. Also want to give a shout-out to the Bleacher Report community, which is a fairly new community, a thing they added to Bleacher Report. But I tell you what, those guys in there are extremely passionate and give the Knicks fans and fans of other teams a really, really hard time. So I certainly appreciate them as well. So, yes, with that being said, sir, excited to get to it.
25 years broadcasting Hawks basketball, Emmy Award winner, motivational speaker, also a published author. I don't know if a lot of y'all knew that. On episode 101 on Around the ATL, I want to welcome Bob Raffin to the show. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, guys.
Bob, how are you going, sir?
Doing great. How are you all?
Doing great,
man,
sir. Doing great.
We can't complain. And as I mentioned with Steve earlier, you know, it's been a while since we've actually talked because of the pandemic. How's you and your family doing?
We are doing great. Thank you for asking. We've come through it unscathed, and we're excited to get back to our lives. Everybody's been vaccinated, and we can't wait. I wish that for all Hawks fans so they can have the opportunity to come down and watch some playoff basketball.
So exciting, so exciting. So I want to get started, but I have to say now, you don't have to say anything. I don't want us to get fined. I don't want you to get fined. But Nate McMillan getting fined earlier today, any thoughts on that, Bob?
Oh, I thought that was old school, you know. Sound the alarm, put them on notice. And if it costs you a few $1,000s, well, that's okay. Let them know you're around.
It's almost like poking the bear a little bit, but I think it's one of the best things we've had happen to a coach in Atlanta in a long time per what the circumstances are, because he basically kind of uttered what everybody else was probably already thinking, but he put the words in. And I think just for the fact that he got fined, I think, you know, it kind of must be true. You know, I don't know. But it was just interesting. When I saw it, I was like, this can't be real. I looked at it again. I was like, oh, it is real. So, wow.
I think Bob is thinking just like I'm thinking, because I put out a tweet right before the show started that it's an old school veteran coach Phil Jackson type of move. To go ahead and put it out there,
exactly.
Take the fine. Yes, sir. And so, you know, like you said, it puts everybody on notice, and hopefully, I believe it will pay off for our team with the way the series is officiated.
Well, I hope so. I mean, any break you can get would be welcomed, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So let's get started. So, Bob, my first question for you this evening, how impressed are you with where the Hawks are at within the 72-game season, the pandemic, all the injuries, the midseason coaching change? With you seeing all this firsthand for everybody and then being able to talk about it on a night-to-night basis, like I mentioned at the intro, how impressed are you really with the Hawks this year?
Oh, my goodness. What a transformation, you know, from where we were on March the 1st to where we sit tonight, to go from 11th place when Nate took over to 4th, you know, basically a tie with New York, is pretty remarkable. You know, we have so many injuries, the coaching change obviously, went through a lot and turned our season around like, I don't know that we've ever had a season like this in Atlanta. You know, with the coaching change, to turn it around like we did. We've had other years where we've really gotten good before having, you know, some playoff success, but gosh, nothing like this. And I think the best is yet to come for this team because we're finally healthy for the first time. Save Cam Reddish, I mean, we've got basically our whole team finally intact. And a week off to prepare for Nate has been fantastic. So I think we're sitting in a pretty good place, but no one, I don't think, could have ever predicted this happening.
Exactly, and you mentioned the one thing about preparation, you know, being able to actually implement something for the first time really all season, and I think we're ready. I think this team is definitely ready and going to surprise some people. Jordan, I know you have the next question.
Yes, sir. Just prior to us coming on the air, I see that the list of finalists for Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA is out. That list is Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons, and Draymond Green. I'm very disappointed that Clint Capella isn't on that list. I've also seen a lot of writers do their After the Season Awards with no Clint Capella on even second team all defense, with no Trae Young being all NBA, with Nate McMillan not being in their top three for Coach of the Year. So what do the Atlanta Hawks have to do on the court to start getting some respect with the national media?
Win in the playoffs. You know, people around that cover this league nationally disappoint me. because they really don't cover the league. They cover a couple of teams, and they cover a few stars. Well, that's not the league. I don't think guys that vote on these awards or make predictions have seen the Hawks play in 5 years. I mean, you couldn't and make these predictions. It's sad to me because it's my profession, and I don't think the men and women are doing their jobs on the national scene. You know, they don't talk about guys like LaMelo Ball in Charlotte. With the year he's had. They don't talk about Dylan Brooks in Memphis. You know, they don't talk about, unless it's LeBron or, Steph or the glamour teams, they don't much care. And that's not right. You know, if your charge is to cover the league on a national basis, then you need to know what's going on in all 30 markets, all 30 teams, 29 markets, but They don't seem to do that, nor care about it. That makes me sad.
I totally agree, Bob. I totally agree, and I think that they're doing the league and the fans a disservice by not paying attention to so many, because this league has so many young, marketable stars. So I totally agree, Bob.
And the thing also, go ahead, Bob.
I'm agreeing with the point, and I think. When you cover the league like we do, because we have to prepare for all 30 teams, you get those stories and you see these kids. And there's a lot of great young talent, a lot of great comeback stories, a lot of old vets that are doing wonderful things, and you just don't hear about it. You just don't read about it. And it's sad that just a handful of media outlets control the national narrative.
Well, and actually, that's where I was going to go with that, is because if that's the narrative and if it's a matter of winning in the playoffs, how are the Knicks getting all this talk? Because they haven't even been in the playoffs to win in the playoffs. And I've been posting that a lot. You know, you missed the playoffs 7 years in a row, and then before that, you missed it 5 years in a row, and then before that, you missed it 20 years have gone by. They haven't been in the playoffs a lot, and then all of a sudden, they're shooting haymakers now. So for me, I think it is, like Jordan said, a disservice. But again, for us and this new team, because now we have a virtual new team here, it will make a difference going forward, because they won't be able to really – their narrative will have to change eloquently as these playoffs go on, because things are going to happen that they said wasn't supposed to happen, and they'll be forced to have to change the narrative. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I agree. It's sad, but, the Knicks are in New York, and any team that, plays in New York or gets hot, they're going to get a preponderance of the acclaim. I sent a tweet out Monday, I think, that said, to Hawks fans everywhere, brace yourself, because here's what's coming. You know, you're going to hear all the stories about how the Knicks are going to just mop the floor with the Hawks. The Knicks are back. And, all this nonsense, just because it's the Knicks. It's kind of crazy. They haven't won a world championship since 1973, and you would think that they are perennial contenders. We know that's not true. Now, that said, the New York Knicks coaching staff and the players are great people. And they're very respectful of the Hawks. We're talking only of the media that covers this team. Like, I'm reading the Daily News a couple of days ago, because I read all the papers and get the clips and stuff. And the writer of the article said, the Hawks are a smallish market team. And I'm saying, dude, we're the number seven television market in the country.
Right.
What are you talking about? And then he said later in the column, he said, the Knicks are 8-1 all time against the Atlanta Hawks in the playoffs, so that makes them a favorite. What? The last time we played in the playoffs was 1999, and some of the guys that are going to start Sunday night weren't even born yet.
Weren't born then. It's
right.
Amazing to me.
Other time was like in the 70s.
Yeah.
So what's that got to do with today? I mean, it's unbelievable, the stuff that they come up with.
The narrative will have to be adjusted very soon. This is a perfect segue, real quick, with the Knicks. And we know, and again, it's not against the team. It's the media for the most part. Although there was that one player who did have his one thing to say, but I won't get into that right now. But what will you be paying attention to mostly as you this first round, Bob, as far as the Knicks versus the Hawks? Because like you said, we're full healthy finally for the first time pretty much ever, except for Goody and Cam. And the Knicks have their team. So what will you be looking at as far as advantages, disadvantages, competition-wise with this first round of the playoffs coming up?
Yeah, I think two things for fans to watch in game one, how we defend Julius Randle. And I think when he's on the perimeter, you're going to have DeAndre Hunter on him. If he gets in the post, then we'll probably switch it up. But on the wing, I expect DeAndre Hunter to guard him. And then the other end of the floor, I think how quickly can Trey break the code? Figure out how they're going to defend him, and then punish them, as he did in game three of the regular season of theirs. If Trey does not turn his ankle in that game, we win.
Exactly.
No question.
Absolutely.
And I just think that how quickly he can diagnose what they're trying to do to him defensively, and then make them pay for it, will lead us to success. It's not going to be easy, guys. I do think the Hawks have the better team. But, you know, you got to get one on the road, get a split, and then, you know, at worst, and then come back home, take care of business. I think the team's confidence will grow as the series goes along if they can have some success here in game one.
Makes complete sense to me. Go ahead, Jordan. I know you got a question.
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that, Bob. Of the new additions that you've watched play against the Hawks in prior years, has there been any one new addition that stood out that's made you say, like, wow, I knew this guy could play, but he's even better than I thought?
On the Hawks?
Yes, of the new additions that you watched on other teams prior to them coming in.
I think Bogdanovich, by far. This guy, I cannot believe Sacramento let him go. I don't think they knew what they had, to be honest with you. This guy's 28 years old, fellas. I mean, this is no rookie. And they talk about the fact that he doesn't have any NBA playoff experience. Well, yeah, that's true. But come on. He's won a EuroLeague championship. I mean, this guy's got plenty of high-level basketball experience. And I thought the way Nate used him over the last 2 months was just outstanding. A lot more pin downs, a lot more catch and shoot, much more than off the dribble than when Lloyd was in charge. I thought it was a great strategic change by Nate McMillan, and it really unleashed the beast that this guy has become. I mean, this cat's got a better 3-point shooting percentage since March the 1st than Steph Curry. I mean, this guy's on fire. He's making 4 or 5 three-pointers a night, and nobody's even batting an eyelash.
Yeah.
Hey, he's been amazing. So I would pick Bogey.
Absolutely. And I think at some point people are going to have to stop saying that, you know, he's playing out of his mind and just understand that maybe this is who he is with this team being put in the position to succeed. So once again, you're spot on, Bob.
Yeah, I think the one shift that I think you may see teams do, like the Knicks, because, you know, Thibodeau's an outstanding defensive coach. I think they may shift their coverage and guard Bogey very tightly and let Trey shoot, I think, from three. I think that might be their strategy. It'd be interesting to see how they decide to play it. But if I'm New York, I am not letting Bogdanovich get off.
Yeah, because otherwise it'll be a long night for them, especially with our bench playing as well as they have been. And that's actually a secondary question, Bob. With Hunter being back now, and we saw how he played the very last game, do you think he goes back to the starting lineup, or do they continue to bring him off the bench?
I think the starting lineup is going to be Trey, Bogey, Hunter, Collins, and Capella.
Okay.
I don't think there's much doubt about that. I think they started Hunter Sunday against the Rockets to get him out there with Trey and Collins to get a little familiarity, get him back in the mix. But I think Hunter's starting. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I'm telling you, that's going to be the lineup right there. And they haven't played, but I just feel that just from, you know, experience and how they played, the little bit they played earlier in the season, they're going to be dynamic together, and that makes our bench even deeper now. As far as people coming off the bench, we really do have two other teams that we can throw against the Knicks, and really anybody in the Eastern Conference. That's why I feel that we have such a good shot right now. Jordan, you have another question?
Yes, sir. In regards to the broadcast, Bob, you know, we always enjoy listening to you and Neek, but I noticed this year it's been a lot more three-man broadcast booth with Vince Carter and also the Stinger in some games. In fact, it's been very interesting to hear Vince talk about, like, some of the work he did with John Collins and hear how proud he is when Collins has a big game. And Stinger told a story about Dominique as a rookie, into which they got on him for not passing out of a double team, and Dominique said, "Well, I just jumped up and I turned around and I was wide open. There was no double team up there." and I just think that those things have been great. So could you just speak a little bit to how much you've enjoyed the change with having a three-man broadcast booth and see what guys like Stinger and Vince have added to the chemistry?
Well, Vince has been great. I mean, Stinger's been with us forever, you know, here and there, popping on.
Right.
But, hey, listen, if the fans love it, we love it. And I think the fans really do enjoy hearing from Vince because he's been in our locker room the last 2 years. You know, he knows these guys, and he can relate to them, and he still stays in touch with them. So I think it's been a great addition. And, you know, Neek is funny as all get out, and Stinger – lovely insights from when they were together and just the game in general. So I sit back and I really do enjoy listening to these guys because I learn just as much as the fans do.
Outstanding.
And I want to follow up on that because actually that was one of my questions or comments with Vince Carter. I remember there was the one interview y'all were doing with Gallo and you told him that VC was there. And he turned around, VC, you know, he was so excited and everything.
I know.
And
that
was really a cool moment. And I said that how big a deal it was that Vince Carter finished his career as a Hawk. And I actually tweeted him the other day to say if whenever the Hawks get that first ring, I believe he should get one because I think his influence has been huge on this team. Like you just said, Bob, he's been on the roster. But now he's also on the broadcast team, so they all get to see him and hear from him on a regular basis. And like, you know, Jordan just said how he's been working with some of the players and how he's excited to see what they talked about actually, you know, appear on the court. So I just think it's just a huge deal that Vince Carter has been with the team the last couple of years, and it's exciting for him to be a part of this right now too.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He fits right in. He's very, very good on the air. You know, I think he really enjoys being on the Hawks broadcasts. I think he can kind of – I know he's got a shaved head, but I think he can kind of let his hair down when he's with us. He can't really do that with ESPN. So
no.
I think he's enjoyed his time with us.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Bob, I got a fan question for you of sorts. I know if you remember a few years ago, Summer League, Trae Young – And there was the one quote, keep your shirts on, it's Summer League, you know, in regards to being surprised on the little bit of the backlash of Trey being, you know, in a Hawks uniform in the first place. And right now, as we are about to go into the playoffs with basically a brand new team, there's still a few out there where I see certain comments, I see certain videos of Hawks fans still not really – we want to be exuberant. We want to be excited. We want to be fanatical. And I've always been like that, but there's still a lot of almost like naysayers to be like, well, we're winning too soon or we're too far ahead. What do you say to the Hawks fans in regards to believing in the team right now, because we do have a legacy. No, we haven't won an NBA championship, but we're working towards it, and we've had more chances than other teams, you know, unlike Sacramento Kings, who haven't been in 15 years. But what would you say to the fans on just the belief part? Because, you know, Nate McMillan from the very beginning said, we got to believe that we can win. And we see how that's translated to the players and everything in the organization. But what do you say to the fans who still might not be – they're still hesitant on wanting to get in on this?
It's a jilted lover syndrome, right? You know, it's tough being an Atlanta sports fan.
Yeah.
You know, our teams have, you know, with a few exceptions, just broken our hearts year after year, time after time. And yet we still love them. And, you know, a lot of fans, yeah, it takes a little more to push them back into that that space where it's okay to love again and get back on the horse and start riding. So I would say, you know, enjoy this team. You know, this team's built for the long haul. This is not just a one-year flash in the pan. We got Clint Capella for two more years after this. We're going to have Craig. We're probably going to have John Collins. We're going to have, you know, Gallo and Bogey and all these guys. They're going to be around for a while. So this team's going to do a lot of winning, and I pray to God that Nate's going to be our coach.
No, you just don't even know.
I think we're going to be in it for the long haul. I think this is just the start of big things.
I'm excited. I've been telling people we can rule the East for the next decade plus. And a big part of that would be keeping Nate here. I just don't see anybody else who would be able – I just think we would be making a huge mistake of not being able to have him back in the Hawks, you know, as the Hawks coach. But we shall see for sure. Jordan, do you have one more question?
Yes, and it kind of goes into what you guys were saying, but I'm all in on this team. Like, I've watched Hawks basketball since I've been a child, and I know a good Hawks team when I see it, so much to the point where I've signed up for season tickets for next season. And so I hope to get a chance to see you at the games or some of the events, Bob. And I always tell people, this is my favorite Hawks team since I was a child way back in 1986, 1987, when they were second in the East behind the Boston Celtics and ahead of the Bad Boy Pistons. That was in the days when my grandfather would take me to games in the Omni to watch the Hawks play. What does this team rank for you, Bob, among the squads you call games for, just in terms of the excitement of this season and how well this team has played?
Well, it's one of my favorites for sure. I feel a little detached because we can't be around the guys. I think I would enjoy them a lot more if I could, but I admire what they've done. We still talk, but, you know, I'm not in the locker room. I'm not at practice. I'm not traveling with the team, and Nick either. So that's a little different. The 60-win team is always going to have a soft spot in my heart for how special they were that one year and winning 19 straight games and, you know, all the great things that we did with that team. But I'm telling you what, these guys have turned it around now. You know, 27-11 is not a fluke.
No,
11 straight home wins is not a fluke. You know, you've got to – you know, you beat Phoenix like a drum like we did, and – you know, you beat Milwaukee, and you beat some of the top teams in this league like we did. It's not a fluke. So it's time to get behind this ball club.
Absolutely.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said, Bob. And again, that's why it's such a big deal for, you know, when I'm able to get, you know, shows like this going. And this is one of the reasons I started around the ATL, because I wanted to be able to get closer to a fan base that's really passionate and not afraid to, you know, about their fandom at the end of the day, and want the team to do well and understand there's winning, there's losing, and you always want the team to win, but you know that they might lose sometimes, and you're going to still stick with them until they win that big game. And this is the core, I believe, that's going to do that for us. So it's exciting that we all are here, and we get to see the, you know, the possible beginnings of it this Sunday. And for y'all, as on the broadcast side of things, how is it that, I mean, let's see, how can I say this? How excited are y'all being able to be in this first round as far as broadcasting?
Oh, we're thrilled. I mean, this is what we live for. You know, you go through the, well, this year, 72 games, but you know, normally 82 games and five or six exhibition games, six-month grind to get to this. And, my goodness, we're so excited. We're thrilled to have it on Bally. Hope that all Hawks fans everywhere will watch us if they can, if they're in, you know, the Atlanta Metro. And, you know, we can't wait. We've been sitting here twiddling our thumbs for a whole week. You know, we're ready to go. We've been ready to go. So we'll be glad when Sunday night gets here and we can do that first game.
Can't wait, can't wait. Well, Bob, again, I appreciate you taking time out this evening. I know your schedule's been crazy busy this week preparing for the playoffs and everything. We look forward to your call, you, Dominique, Glenn, and the rest of the guys, Vince. And let's go Hawks.
All right. That sounds good to me. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Go Hawks. Thank you so much, Bob.
Okay. You got it, guys. Thank you.
And that was the professional, 25 years as Atlanta Hawks broadcaster of our games, Bob Raftin. Again, it goes into that length of time. You know you're working for a purpose, but you do become a fan of the team that you're broadcasting for, and you can hear that as he talks about the Hawks year after year. And just those little experiences that we talked about tonight. Hopefully y'all appreciated that for sure. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. Jordan, you can hang a little bit longer?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we're going to come back. Remember, 646-652-4479 is the number to call in. So if you're listening, make sure you go ahead and dial in. If you got some questions, you want to talk some Hawks, you want to talk about this Nate McMillan firing. Do we all need to put, some money in a hat to pay for it? What we got this? I don't know. But,
somebody started the GoFundMe already.
See, there it is. See, look at that. We got to do what we got to do right now. But we're going to come right back. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. This is IMTN Worldwide Radio. This is Around the ATL.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk. We'll be right back.
And we are back. This is IMTN Worldwide Radio. This is Around the ATL. Our second show of the night is episode 101. We've had two. This is the first time we've actually done two shows in the same night, or the same day, I should say. But we had to, because we had the most stupendous guest that you can have, of course, on the broadcast side. Earlier today, we had Steve Holman, and just now we had Bob Rafton, 25 years broadcasting Atlanta Hawks on television for us. As Hawks fans, and if you missed it, you missed it, okay? You got to listen to it later. But we were able to discuss, of course, the upcoming series, the past in regards to just our fans and just our legacy as Hawks, as a Hawks organization. We talked about the fine of Nate McMillan earlier today as well, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So you gotta get in where you fit in when we have these special shows now. Jordan, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, doing great, man. Outstanding interview. Both interviews today were outstanding. Bob just said a lot of great things. I thought he made some great points about the national media and the fact that they really aren't doing their homework and their due diligence on all of these teams. And like Jamal Price, shout out to him, said earlier, you know, like even though our job is not to do radio for a living, that we're more versed on these other teams and the players they have than the national people are on the Hawks. And I think I agree with Bob. It is sad. One of the other things that stood out for me that Bob said, he kind of confirmed, you know, what I've been saying, and you have as well on this show, that, you know, this turnaround by Nate McMillan, it's a lot to do with, you know, a mentality, but it's more than just a mentality. And the funny thing, you know, I just asked him about, you know, of what player was better than he may have thought, and it was Bogey, but he went into, you know, how Nate has put Bogey in the position to be successful, running more pin downs, running more screens. You know, we could also get into the post-up plays with Collins, and I think, you know, Bob just confirmed what we've known, is that this thing is more than just a mental thing. Nate has installed some different stuff from an offensive perspective, and it's made a huge difference with Bogey's game and with many guys on his team as well.
Exactly. 646-652-4479. We'd love to hear from you as Hawks fans out there as we get ready for the playoffs. Again, we've not been out the playoffs for a decade plus like some teams over the last 7 years or 5 years. We've only been out the playoffs about 3 years, and we've been rebuilding for the last five. So we are definitely benefiting from a lot of hard work from ownership and management. And now that we have a good coach here, we're really starting to see what can be, what should be, as far as progress goes with your team. And again, belief goes a long way. Winning matters. Again, my hashtag on all my posts, winning matters. When you start winning, you don't like losing. Losing, you get insulted if you lose, you know, especially when you know you should have won. And that's one of the things that where it comes to accountability to say, okay, well, what do we have to do to win the next game? And can you do it? You know, and that's where the playoffs was only being 7 games. You know, you have to win 4. So, again, what I've been saying is, what teams are going to really be able to beat the Hawks 4 games? And again, I might be talking crazy. I don't think I am, though, because we're full healthy. We've had a full week to be able to implement everything that, you know, Nate might want to put in there now. And we have Hunter back. We're probably going to start the lineup that was supposed to be starting all year, as Bob mentioned, with Trey and Bogey, Clint in the middle, John and Hunter. And with that, you know who's coming off the bench at that point. We have just a plethora of players that can just beat you all over the place. And I just don't think that too many teams can match up against all of our guys, you know. And the other part of that is, too, those other teams have to almost play perfect. They have to almost, like, go out of their way to really have good games. Like, they can't have subpar performances. The Hawks, we have so many good players. You know, not that any of our players will have to be subpar, but everybody doesn't have to score 30 points to even be in the game with our team. I think that's going to be a huge deal, and I think that's where our advantage is going to come in at. What do you think, Gordon?
I totally agree. We're not a team that's totally reliant, you know, on one or two stars, that's totally reliant on, you know, one guy. We have so many guys that can hurt you. I mean, we talked about Trey. We talked about Bogey. We talked about John Collins. You know, Clint Capella hurts you on the boards and from a defense perspective and can still get, you know, 25 points in the game. Lou Williams is a guy who can explode at any moment and go off. And, I mean, he's a guy who he could be struggling throughout the game. And you know, in particular, it was one game where I think it was the Charlotte game where he was 0-for-7 in the game headed into the fourth quarter. He dropped four straight three-pointers, and that was the main reason why we came back in the game and were able to win the ball game. And more than just scorers, we got playmakers as well. Lou is a very good passer, underrated passer, and secondary ball handler. Trey is the best young playmaker in the league. Bogey is very good handling the ball and making plays for other guys. And so, you know, whether it comes to perimeter defense, to interior defense, rebounding, shooting, ball handling, this team really has it all, Chris. And it's just a matter of this team getting comfortable and continuing to get more and more confident as they win more and more games in the playoffs. And I think Bob said it best. This team is built for the long haul. So even though this is just the Hawks' first year back in the playoffs, this is not going to be the last year in the playoffs. This is going to be a regular thing. And so the national media, they might as well start studying and do their homework and learning who these players are and what they can do, because they're going to have to you know, deal with the Hawks' presence for many years to come.
And I guess that's where, with most of us as Hawks fans, is just that's where the disrespect word comes into play, because it's as if they're living in a different dimension almost. Like I don't understand how you just put the Knicks on a pedestal after they've done nothing. And they had a Carmelo during a lot of those years, too, that they weren't making the playoffs, right? They had the 150 win season, but then after that, they haven't done anything. And then, of course, Melo left. And, of course, they didn't do anything after Melo left. But now, all of a sudden, for one season, they're supposed to be the cream of the crop. You know, like, you know, Macho Man, you know, the crop, rises to the top, whatever he said, you know what I'm saying? So I can't do a good Macho Man right now, I'm sorry. But it's just a shame to me, and it's the rest of the media that just, as if they haven't watched any games, or they only remember what happened up until 14 and 20. You see what I'm saying? And so they just had, like, basically given up on the whole season. I'm like, well, 14 and 20 still had a lot of games to go. And then, again, I've been mentioning these stats. Again, since March 1st, we have the best record in the Eastern Conference, third best in the NBA. We won 11 in a row at home. We have over 25, 26 wins at home. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, none of that matters, though. Okay, but when we start winning in the playoffs, then what are you going to say? Because, or what excuses are you going to start coming up with at that point? And how silly are they going to sound with you dismissing this team from the jump? Like, all those other pundits have said that the Knicks are going to win no matter what. And that's what's going to be the funny thing about this at the end of the day when the Hawks, you know, come out the first half. 646-652-4479. I am looking to see if on some of our Atlanta Hawk pages, we're going to get a couple of callers in. So I am trying to check a couple of things. We did talk about matchups a little bit. We're excited that Hunter is back. He looks full healthy. Who else do you think is going to be the watchdog player? I believe it's going to be, and even though it's been kind of intimated that he's not going to play a lot, but I still think Dunn can play a huge part in this in the series, where we got to be able to lock somebody down as far as a guard or anybody. That's why he's here. So I'm hoping he gets to play. What do you think, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm with you, Chris. I don't know if there's something going on with him, you know, that he's not quite healthy or what it is. But I think he could be a big X factor in this series if we use him. I think he's the perfect guy to guard Derrick Rose, especially considering Derrick Rose comes off the bench. So he's the guy that when you see Rose get up off the bench, you can just put him out there to keep Rose from even getting started early when he comes in. Another guy I think he can help with off the bench with two more guys would be Emmanuel Quickley, as well as Alex Burks. So I think he could definitely play a big factor on this team. Now, I do realize this team has so much talent, you know, that it's going to be hard to find major minutes for all of them in the playoffs. And that's fine, but for the guys that, you know, are going to be a part of the regular rotation, it does not mean that you can't use them situationally when needed, when you need to get some stops, when you want to slow down somebody that's hot, you know. And so I look at a guy like Dunn to be big at that. I look at Solo with the minutes he gets defending Julius Randle. He did a pretty good job against Randle in the times he played him. In the last game we played, I think he could be a big factor. And just our bench in general, man, because, you know, that's where a lot of teams just do not have the firepower to match up with us. I mean, we have a guy like Lou who, you know, it's not even a debate. Lou is one of the best six men to ever play in the NBA. He's won the award multiple times. You know, you have Gallo who played with Lou back with the Clippers, so they have a chemistry together. He's a guy you can go to both in the post and behind the arc. And Kevin Herter is another guy because he's likely to go back to the bench. You know, he still makes our bench even stronger to have a unit, you know, with Lou, with Kevin, you know, with Gallo on that unit. You could also match an Okongwu with that unit. You could go defense with Dunn. You could go defense with Hill. You could go shooting, more shooting with Tony Snell, you know, who had the highest percentage, you know, in the league, even though he didn't make enough to qualify for the league leaders with that injury late in the season. So, man, you know, this team just has so much firepower. And as Bob said, you know, once Trey diagnoses how they're playing him and what he's got to do to make them pay, that's just going to unlock and open up everything for this team. And I really just don't believe the Knicks have enough to keep up, sir. I really don't.
Yeah, situational basketball, one of the things that I've also mentioned was that in lieu of teams of the past and having the pieces, and you look at the specialization of certain things, that still is true even today, where you have the guy who's going to rebound, you have the guy who's going to hit those threes, you have the guy who's going to dive on the floor and get those balls, and, you know, loose balls or whatnot, the person who's going to be able to set a screen for you. We have all those pieces, but then they're really good at that. They're just not some pieces, but they can actually play. Like I've been saying, we have four or five players that can actually take over a game at any given moment. Of course, off the bench, you got Lou and Gallo, but there's times that Red Mamba has done it, of course, right? And then, of course, on our starting lineup, you got Trey, you got John, and then you also have Hunter at this point, because we've seen Hunter take over games himself as well. So, did I say Bogey? Yeah, of course, Bogey, you know, so we have a lot
of that's about 8 or 9 guys, sir.
You know, so, again, that's why I think this wave after wave of this talent. Now, of course, there's the execution part of it, but where have we seen over, you know, these last few months since March, a whole bunch of lack of execution? Remember, we were 14-20. Look at our final record in a 72-game season. A lot of people forget about that, too. Just think if we had those extra 10 games, we'd be an over 50-win team this year, right? You know, after winning 20 a year ago. So I just think it's just so much positive, not a lot of negative at all. And, again, that's why I just, you know, I'm so excited. Everybody should be excited. You see our broadcasters are ready to go. They're ready and raring to go. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised, and it's going to be just fun to see how that national media has to change their storyline, especially the broadcast teams like TNT. Should I get into it? I don't know if I should or not. I'm not trying to get fun. I got to say that again, just throw it out there. But they're going to have to change. They're going to have to change their verbiage too over these next couple of weeks as things change. Because again, in our bracket, you know, let's say if we do knock out the Knicks, more than likely it's going to be Philadelphia, right? I believe full healthy, yeah. We have as much chance against Philadelphia as anybody. And again, they have more pressure than anybody because of their past playoff history. And then let's say we got past Philly, of course, more than likely we'll be playing the Brooklyn Nets. I believe we earlier in the season, it was early in the season, but hey, scoring has never been an issue with the Hawks, right? It has been, can we stop anybody? We know we do that now. Can they prove that they can stop somebody is going to be the question. And we know they have all the pressure because of all those players they kept bringing into the fold, right? You kind of mentioned it earlier. It was Harden and stuff. And, of course, they got KD now. So, you know, can we match up against the Nets? Sure we can. And then the other thing about the Nets, a possible Nets series, we know we have a coach that has more experience, too. I don't think we're going to get out-coached that game. So I feel good about any of those matchups. What about you, Jordan?
I do as well. As I'm looking on Twitter, though, I was looking at, you know, I told you guys already about the finalists for Defensive Player of the Year. The three finalists for Coach of the Year are Quinn Snyder of the Utah Jazz, Monty Williams of the Phoenix Suns, and Tom Thibodeau of the New York Knicks. There are no Hawks finalists for any of these awards. And so I don't know what the NBA is thinking, that we're just winning all of these games just by accident or what they're thinking. But you mentioned how well we played and that this could be a 60-win team. I do believe that we have a potential 60-win team on our hands. In fact, someone did the math, and they took our record under Nate McMillan and extrapolated that number out over an 82-game season, and we were already on a pace just in the games under Nate McMillan to win 58 games out of 82. That's the pace we were on. And that's with all the injuries, Chris. That's with all the injuries. So we definitely have a potential 60-win team on our hands in these next few years if they're, you know, healthy, because we played at almost a 60-win pace, you know, since March 1st this year. And so, yeah, man, I think the matchups do favor the Hawks in this series. I think the Hawks, now I will say, Philadelphia is better now that they have Doc Rivers than they were under Brett Brown. I give them credit for that. Because we pretty much had their number under Brent Brown and beat them almost every time we played them their recent years. But I do, this situation with the Knicks, they improved because they have more shooting with Seth Curry, Steph's brother over there, and Danny Green. But as a whole, they only have, you know, two, three guys that can really score the basketball, whereas we have eight or nine. So yeah. I do think we match up well with them. Now, with the Nets, they're the only team that scares me a little bit. Just because they have all that star power. Star power also usually means more calls and more free throw attempts. But, as you said, that team has not played together all season long, and they are not known for having the best defense. So, you know, if we can get to the Eastern Conference Finals at that point, I'll certainly take my chances. But right now, you know, my main focus is on, you know, let's get behind this team. Let's pull for this team. Let's root for this team. Let's support this team. And let's get past the Knicks. And then we can start getting, you know, to Philadelphia and what have you. But I'm going to tell you now, and I truly believe the Hawks are going to shock these people. They are going to put the Knicks out in six games or maybe even less. And so, you know, you're right. There'll be some making excuses or what have you. But the Hawks fans will be letting people hear about it. You can believe that when the Hawks do pull this upset. Now, I'm doing air quotes on upset because I really believe we're the better team. But to the media who have no idea what's about to happen, it will be considered an upset.
646-652-4479. And before you get started, I do want to say this. Bump all that, Jordan. I want the Lakers in the championship. So somebody keeps talking all that mess. Let me stop. All right, go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, so. I don't know. Like I said, I get a little frustrated when I'm looking at these things and these awards and stuff coming in and, you know, the media not giving the Hawks, you know, any finalists in any of these categories. But as I said on our earlier show, and it bears worth repeating, as, you know, all they're doing is making it worse on the Knicks and these other opponents, because Trae Young, he really is going to take this stuff to heart. He has all the receipts. You know, like I said, a lot of some people think that NBA players aren't paying attention, but I'm telling you, he pays attention. You know what I mean? And he may not say anything about it publicly, but it fuels him behind the scenes. And, you know, he is already a superstar caliber player, but the last thing you want to do is give a guy like that more fuel for his fire. And that's exactly what they're doing with this disrespect of the Hawks.
Exactly. Well, again, we definitely are backing the team, and we're excited because we should be excited. We've been excited the last, you know, couple of years since John got drafted and Trey got drafted. We knew that this was going to be the new team. And, you know, you never know how things are going to pan out. You can't exactly predict the future and things of that nature. But, again, I've always said a player to get at least 3 years to be able to show what he can do, right? And sometimes, though, you don't need 3 years. You didn't need 3 years to know what kind of player John was going to be. You didn't need 3 years to find out what Trey was going to be. You know what I'm saying? You knew those guys were going to be good. You knew those were going to be your core players of this new franchise that we have now that's establishing itself very quickly now. And that's why I kind of mentioned to Bob in regards to this on the fandom side, as far as what's the hesitancy of wanting to go full force. I know the past is the past. Again, some people are still traumatized because of the Dominique trade. Some people are still traumatized because we got swept on the 60-win team. All those things are valid. And, of course, our draft history prior to the last, you know, few years, of course. But still, there's hope. you just have to know that somehow, some way, we're going to win the next game, or we're going to win the next season, or we're going to get into the playoffs, or going to advance. You have to be that person, because to not be that person, it's kind of tough. That's what makes it tough, you know, to not enjoy your seasons each year as if you already know what's going to happen. That is tough to be a sports fan like that, you know. So that's the only reason I bring that up from time to time, just because, you know, we have had some great teams here in Atlanta. We've had some really fun teams in Atlanta, right? And this right here, if this is not fun for you, I don't know what to say anymore, you know, right? So, Hawks fans, again, we got some real special things that are going to be happening soon. We have a lot of people who do back us up, who do, you know, are paying attention. They're watching. They're seeing it. And they're mentioning it on the air. They're not afraid to say what they have to say about the Hawks, you know. But other people, they're still kind of in the twilight, you know, behind the curtain, whatever. But we're going to see some real special things. And it starts Sunday night, this Sunday night. Everybody either should be watching or listening on the radio one way or the other. And when the games come back to Atlanta, everybody who can get a ticket, be there. You're watching the games, watch the games. You need to support this team wholeheartedly. Jordan, any other final thoughts?
Well, I just want to add to that point. I totally agree. And, you know, I'm just telling people all season, like, look, because it seemed like there was a big deal where people were kind of just waiting for this thing to fall apart and to us to go back to what we were under Lloyd Pierce. And I kept telling guys, look, it's not going to happen. This team is not going to – people were worried about the play-in games and all that stuff. I kept telling these people, this team is not going to be in the play-in. This team is going to be, you know, either the fourth or fifth seed. Now, I thought we would have got fourth because I thought the Clippers would have beaten New York, but they didn't. We lost that game to Indiana, but we were top five seed. And so, you know, I've even had people tell me when I was saying that kind of stuff, well, tone down, man, because you know it's Atlanta sports and you know we cursed and all of that. Like, first of all, I don't believe in no sports curse, okay? And second of all, no, I'm not going to tone down because I know what this team is. I've watched enough Hawks basketball over the years to know when we got something special. And so, you know, no, I'm not going to turn down, and shout out to all of those out there who are talking their talk, you know what I mean? And, you know, while you do have some that are hesitant, you got a lot of those guys out there on Twitter, on Bleacher Report, that are talking their talk, and they are talking trash, and they are letting the Knicks fans know what's about to happen to them. They don't quite believe it. For some reason, they're putting a whole lot of stock into winning two games when Lloyd Pierce was the coach. But, you know, they're about to be in for a rude awakening, sir. I can promise you that.
To this day. Exactly. So, So the thing of it is, again, we gotta be there because one of the things I've also said is like, if you're not there now, you're not going to feel the same when they do win. You're not going to feel the same when the parade is going down Peachtree Street if you weren't going to continually be there. You know, why would you want to not be wholehearted, you know, just on the basis that, you know, that first game where we get to hear this?
It's a dagger in their heart.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we got this going to be in the playoff mode. You know what I'm saying? So, I can't help but be excited. We've been waiting for this period of time for a very long time, and we deserve it as fans, but the players as well. The players deserve to win. The players deserve to think that they can win. The players deserve to feel that they can advance and be that special team, you know, for the future. And we have the pieces. The pieces are there, and you can see them on the court. They're ready, you know, all the way from the rookies to the veterans to the guys in the middle, so to speak. They're all ready to go right now, so I'm very excited. Jordan, how can people find you? Oh, go ahead. You got something else?
Well, I was just going to say real quick, I was listening to Horace Grant on with John Chuckery before we came on, and Horace did pick the Hawks in 7. And so, you know, add Horace Grant to the list of the few analysts that actually do believe in the Atlanta Hawks. That, you know, that list includes Kendrick Perkins as, you know, he's one of the few that's been taking up for the Hawks and telling people to stop sleeping on the Hawks. That list also includes Nate Duncan, NBA writer, who has also picked the Hawks. But for the most part, you know, it's Atlanta against the world, but that's okay. You know what I mean? Because that's the way, all that's going to do is bring our guys together. And, you know, we're about to put on an epic performance in this first round series. As far as where you can find me at, you can find me on Twitter, at Jordan23ATL. You can also find me at Bleacher Report, and that is at Jordan15ATLGA. And just want to thank everybody out there for listening to this, everyone who's listening live, as well as all those who will listen to it once it goes to all of our podcast platforms. We certainly appreciate you guys. And, you know, I'll repeat the hashtags, Let's Go Hawks, True to Atlanta, We Move. And last but not least, I certainly want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta playoff-bound division champion Atlanta Hawks that I love.
Oh, forgot to mention that. Division champions as well. On top of everything else, we're also division champions. So, I mean, again,
yeah.
so much to look forward to this playoff season. Make sure you follow IMTN Worldwide Radio on Instagram under IMTN Worldwide Radio. Also on Twitter, IMTN Radio. You can listen to past episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and a whole bunch of different platforms. Hopefully soon Amazon Music will go ahead and get me uploaded there. We're waiting for them still. But until next time, we definitely enjoy all the people who call in, who listen to the show, comment after the shows are over. We love being able to have guests. We're looking to be able to do more of that this season. Also, of course, since we're around the ATL, we're going to be looking at getting more on the other sports, baseball team, the Atlanta Braves, the Falcons, Atlanta United, of course, the Dream. We've had, you know, we've had some representation from the Dream, but we're working on the Braves and the Falcons for sure. So till next time, y'all take care. Good night.